Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, May 8, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
All right, just to remind you once again, there will be a short meeting after class tonight in the big classroom for anyone interested in helping with Vacation Bible School. Tonight in the big classroom. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're about ready to get into verse 13, and we will see that there were a lot of people in Corinth who thought the Apostle Paul was insane, a madman, out of his mind. And not just people in Corinth, even the political leaders of the day thought, Festus thought Paul was insane as he was at the trial before Agrippa and Festus. We'll see that. But then some of you probably say, Pastor Olson, I think he's nuts. He's insane. Well, thank you very much. I love to be included with the Apostle Paul. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, which enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John 5:11-12 sounds like this. Therefore, knowing the doctrine of the fear of the Lord in the past, with the result that we know the doctrine of the fear of the Lord now in the present. The Apostle Paul and his team, Timothy and Titus, Silvanus, Apollos. They knew the doctrine of the fear of the Lord. They all had maximum category one fear of the Lord, genuine humility. They had the greatest respect for God and for the Word of God. And they had maximum category two fear of the Lord. Because of maximum metabolized doctrine in their heart, they had personal love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's what motivated Paul. That's what motivated Timothy. That's what motivated Titus. To keep on all over the Roman Empire, the Apostle Paul, all over the Roman Empire, kept feeding the Lord's sheep. What motivated him to keep on feeding the Lord's sheep? The doctrine of the fear of the Lord. And therefore, that's what motivated him to proclaim the grace gospel, not the false gospel of works that the Judaizers and the legalists were communicating. But it motivated him to proclaim the grace gospel of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this salvation is not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works. Not of works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, the legalists, the Judaizers, they called Paul a madman, insane, because he taught salvation by grace. And it motivated him to teach the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures to believers all over the Roman Empire. And as he did that again and again and again all over the empire, there were people who told him he was a madman. He was insane. He was out of his mind. And you know, the Apostle Paul took that as a badge of honor. A badge of honor. Call me a fool. You call me insane, out of my mind, a madman. Thank you for the badge of honor. And the Apostle Paul, what did he do? Well, he loved them with impersonal love for all. Even though they were either unbelievers or reversionistic losers, Paul loved them all with impersonal love for all. And he kept on keeping on, kept on communicating the grace gospel, kept on communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. No matter how many people call him a fool, madman, out of his mind. Paul was always facing spiritual opposition. What an honor. There were many Judaizers, lots of legalists who hated Paul. They attacked Paul. They accused Paul of teaching a false gospel and false doctrine. And Paul says, I'm not writing this to tell you how great I am. Paul never got into self-justification. Paul was not in the ministry to emphasize who and what he is. Paul was not in the business of commending himself. Rather, his personal love for God, his occupation with Jesus Christ, his fearing the Lord, motivated him to consistently and faithfully communicate the grace gospel to unbelievers and the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures to believers. So again, verse 12. We are absolutely not commending ourselves to you, but we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us for the purpose that you may have in your heart maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, divine viewpoint thinking in your heart, to answer those who pride themselves, arrogance, self-righteous arrogance, on the externals, on what's on the outside, on appearance, on what is seen, but not on the heart, which is the real issue. What is in the heart? God wants you to have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now, we were in the process of summarizing verse 12. I haven't quite finished the summary. We have studied 8 points in the summary so far. First of all, point one, the believer's mental attitude and thinking should be the same as that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let the mind of Christ, this attitude of Christ, be in you. 2, what Paul is teaching in 2 Corinthians 5:12 is the mind of Christ, the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ. 3, man looks at the outward appearance, what is seen, but the Lord looks at the heart, 1 Samuel 16:7. 4, the Apostle Paul had many opponents who attacked his teaching of grace and the unique spiritual life lived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Paul's opponents emphasized, point five, they emphasized what's on the outside, externality of keeping the works of the Mosaic Law, keeping the works of the Mosaic Law for salvation, a false gospel of salvation by works, and keeping the works of the Mosaic Law for spiritual growth, the false doctrine of spiritual growth by works. Point six, Paul emphasized what was on the inside. Paul emphasized the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, so that you can get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That's what God is examining. He's examining your heart. What is in your heart? Now you're sitting here. What's in your heart? We have lots of scriptures that says that God examines your heart. He's examining your heart and your emotions. Now, that's an anthropopathism, because it's an anthropopathism for the omniscience of God. When every time you see a passage, God examines your heart, it's an anthropopathism for the omniscience of God, because God knew all about your heart before you were ever here. He knew all about your heart in eternity past, billions of years ago. From the omniscience of God, He knew all about you. He knew from the time of salvation, your faith in Christ, to physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first, every day in eternity past, He knew how much Bible doctrine was in your heart. He knew in eternity past, if you had virtue love brought to completion in your heart, the ultimate objective in the spiritual life of the church age. He knew that in eternity past. But we have it so that we can understand it. He's examining your heart. He's examining your heart, each one of you. How much of the God-breathed scriptures do you have in your heart? Metabolized doctrine. How much wisdom do you have in your heart? Do you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart? That's what Paul emphasized. The legalists and the Judaizers emphasized on the outside. Paul emphasized what's on the inside. Point six, Paul emphasized what was on the inside. The indwelling of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit who fills and controls your soul. He emphasized regeneration, being born again by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation by grace, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Spiritual growth by living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and getting maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That's our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, 12. He put it this way in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us. A letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. God the Holy Spirit. Not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human hearts. That's what the Apostle Paul emphasized. And then over in Romans 2, Romans 2, 28 and 29, he says, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Seven, the Lord is constantly examining your heart to see if you have been living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. To see if you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Point eight, the justice of God always bases any function of justice on his knowledge of the situation. And therefore, he is constantly searching your heart every single day. Your heart. And that is an anthropopathism for the omniscience of God. Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the emotions. Jeremiah 20, verse 12. O Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and the emotions. Psalm 26, 1 and 2. David, the human author, vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. Grace, righteousness. He's a spiritually mature believer. Because I have trusted in the Lord, and I do not slide into reversionism. Examine my heart and my emotions. So we pick it up here, point nine. The Lord looks in your heart to see, first of all, how much metabolized doctrine is there. You see, you're all here. I can't see in your heart. But the Lord examines your heart. He knows what's in your heart by way of Bible doctrine every day, from salvation to physical death or the rapture. So he looks in your heart to see how much metabolized doctrine is there. And secondly, he looks in your heart to see, do you fear the Lord? Do you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart? Do you have personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue that motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue and occupation with Jesus Christ? 10. You see, there is a target for the Word of God. And that target for the Word of God is your heart, your cardia. Not the pump. The right lobe of the soul, the cardia, the heart. Or in the Hebrew, the lave. Turn over to Psalm 37. In Psalm 37, we have the lave. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. The mouth of the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, utters wisdom, kakma, maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Wisdom. You've learned it, you believe it, and you have wisdom. You can apply the Word of God skillfully and accurately to your life. And his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God, Bible doctrine, is in his heart. And therefore his feet do not slip. Psalm 37, 30 and 31. 11. Maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart gives you the capacity. Gives you the capacity to have personal love for God the Father and to have occupation with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6, verses, starting at verse 5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be in your heart. Heart. Turn over to Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. So, if you faithfully obey the mandates that I am giving you today to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. The issue is what is going on in the inside. Turn over to Joshua. Joshua 22. Joshua 22, verse 5. But be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave to you. And what is that? That you are to be very careful to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to obey His mandates, to hold fast to Him, and to serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. So again, 2 Corinthians 5:12. We are absolutely not commending ourselves to you, but we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us, for the purpose that you may have in your heart maximum metabolized doctrine, divine viewpoint thinking, to answer those who pride themselves, self-righteous, arrogant, legalistic people, some of them believers, some of them unbelievers, pride themselves on the outside, external, what is seen, but not on what is in the heart, what is not seen, metabolized doctrine in the heart. One, the Apostle Paul was constantly teaching grace and truth all over the Roman Empire. Paul taught grace and truth to the Jews. He taught grace and truth to the Gentiles. He taught grace and truth. Two, Paul taught the unique spiritual life of the church age and the importance of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The importance of getting maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. Three, Paul says, I am teaching you these doctrines because you have many self-righteous, legalistic people in Corinth who are emphasizing the outside, externals, the appearance. I'm teaching you these doctrines because you have many self-righteous, legalistic people in Corinth who are looking at the outside. Four, they are emphasizing what you are or are not doing by way of works. And that's always back-ass words. That's the way legalists work. Legalists work back-ass words. They want everybody doing all work, 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 and forget about what's in your heart. God says you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Through the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, you'll get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. That comes first, and then comes the production. Grace, righteous production. Divine, good production that glorifies God to the maximum. But it's the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. But if you don't have any doctrine in your heart, you won't have any divine good production either. First comes the maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And that motivates maximum divine good production. Gold, silver, and precious stones. 2 Corinthians. They'll be evaluated by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Ephesians 2:10, we were created for maximum divine good production, but it's the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now, you don't have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, you won't have any divine good production in your life either. That's kaput. You're a hearer only. There are a lot of hearers only. But if you hear and believe and grow up, there will be that grace righteous production. 5. But they are not emphasizing the heart. They are not emphasizing the heart and having maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Six, it is not what people see on the outside, it is what God sees in your heart. It is not what people see on the outside, it is what God sees in your heart. Seven, you're not accountable to people, you're accountable to God. You're not accountable to people, you are accountable to God. 8, you have been commissioned a royal priest. Every one of you here, you are all royal priests. You have been commissioned a royal priest, and therefore you represent yourself before the Lord. You have been commissioned a royal priest, and therefore you represent yourself before the Lord. 9, you live your life as unto the Lord, not as unto man. You live your life as unto the Lord, not as unto man. So again, verse 12, we are absolutely not commending ourselves to you, but we are giving to you an occasion to be proud of us for the purpose that you may have in your heart, maximum metabolized doctrine, divine viewpoint thinking, the mind of Christ, to answer those who pride themselves, self-righteous, arrogant, legalists, Judaizers, who pride themselves on externals, what is seen, but not on what is in the heart, maximum metabolized doctrine, which is unseen. All right, now we come to verse 13, which in the King James, this is absolutely one of the most horrible translations. There are lots of horrible translations in the King James. You realize that some of the translators were not even believers who translated the King James. And this must have been an unbeliever here. Or a believer had absolutely no idea about Greek. It says in the King James, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Do you see any insanity there? You see anything being out of your mind? For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. We have the conjunction gar plus the conditional particle a combined with particle te plus the aorist active indicative of ex histemi, there's the key verb, plus the dative singular of theos. The postpositive conjunction gar is an illative use of gar, and the illative introduces a reason and is correctly translated for. The conditional particle a combined with the enclitic particle te, eta, may be translated if. And then we have the verb ex histemi. That's E-K-S-I-S-T, long E-M-I, ex histemi. All right, couple things. This is the key word here. One, ex histemi is a compound word made out of the preposition ek, which means, I'll put it up above here, got a little more room, out of. We always had Koine Greek at Dallas Seminary, we had a preposition box. And in the preposition box, when you had ek, it was like this. Ek was out of. Out of, and then... And then you have histemi, which means to stand. Two, literally it means to stand out of, to stand outside of, and in our context, to stand outside of your mind. Three, as a transitive verb, it means to drive one out of one's mind, or to drive someone out of their mind. That's the transitive verb, but we don't have it as a transitive verb. Point four, as an intransitive verb, which is what we have, it means to become separated from something, to lose something. And in our context, to lose your mind. Now, Debbie and I make fun. Thing that I miss the most is that, and the things I've lost is that I've lost my mind, you know. Well, that's what we have here. Five. In the Koine Greek, in the scriptures, this word is only used of mental imbalance. Only used of mental imbalance. Six, it means to lose one's mind. It means to be out of one's senses. Seven, the Apostle Paul, this is what the Apostle Paul has been considered, even unbelievers say the Apostle Paul may be the greatest mind ever in the human race. Genius upon genius upon genius. The Apostle Paul's critics and opponents accused him of madness. Mental imbalance. They accused him of being insane. The Apostle Paul's critics and opponents accused him of madness, mental imbalance, and accused him of being insane. Eight. Even the Roman governor of Judea, Festus, accused the Apostle Paul of being insane when the Apostle Paul gave his defense before King Agrippa and the Roman governor of Judea, Festus. Turn over to Acts 26. Acts 26. Acts 26. Let's start at verse 1. Then Agrippa, this is King Agrippa, said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." He's on trial. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently." Verse 4. "The Jews all know the way that I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country, and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time, and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope, my confidence in what God has promised our fathers, that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? Paul taught the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of resurrection. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and the commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" That is the futility of persecuting the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and His royal family. "Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people the Jews, and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I proclaimed that they should repent, change their thinking, and turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. Grace production. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, the resurrection of Christ, would proclaim light to his own people, the Jews, and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus, the governor, interrupted Paul's defense and said, "You're out of your mind. Ex histemi. You're insane. You're mad. You're out of your mind, Paul." And he shouted it to Paul. "You're out of your mind. Your great learning," and he recognized that this guy is a genius, "your great learning is driving you insane." Paul says, "I'm not insane, most excellent Festus." Now there, right there, there is the Apostle Paul has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Festus is an asshole. That's the difference between Paul and if I had been there. I would have told him, "You're an asshole." But he says, "Excellent Festus." Where does that come from? He loves, personal love for God the Father, personal love for Jesus Christ, which motivates impersonal love for all, even for assholes like Festus. And he says, "Excellent Festus," Paul replied, "what I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." And then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long time, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." But what did the governor, Roman governor, say of Paul? You're out of your mind. You are insane. Now, verse 13 says, for if we are out of our mind, if we are insane, this is our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 13. For if we are exhistemi, if we are out of our mind, if we are insane, and then we have the dative singular of theos, God, the dative case is the dative of destination, recipient, and is correctly translated for the sake of God. So the corrected translation, for if we are out of our mind, if we are insane, it is for the sake of God. One, Paul's critics, the legalistic Judaizers, accused Paul of being insane, out of his mind. This is often euphemistically translated fool, but that's a euphemism. The best translation, what we had there next, insane, out of your mind. Two, the Apostle Paul had great impersonal love for all, and therefore with great virtue, great honor, great integrity, he was willing to be thought of as a fool and insane. He just went off like water off a duck's back, because he had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He had impersonal love for all mankind. So with that impersonal love for all, the Apostle Paul had great virtue and honor and integrity, and he was willing to be thought of as a fool and insane. Three, who but one with impersonal love for all, virtue love brought to completion in his heart, would show such disregard for himself? It was no big deal to Paul. It was no big deal. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Now, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels, as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. This is sanctified sarcasm. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rag. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, the Apostle Paul, writing, verse 16, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool. But if you do accuse me of being a fool, then receive me just as you would a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way the world does, those in the cosmic system, I too will boast. You gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or pushes himself forward or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak to do that. What anyone else dares to boast about, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind. I'm insane to talk like this, but I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brethren. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. Well, we've summarized verse 13 with 3 points. Come back next week, we'll start with point 4. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. And we ask that God the Holy Spirit might challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.